Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Woman to Woman to Man show. God bless you. Amen. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you to the broadcast on today. We're going to play a song, and then we're going to go right into the topic on today. Listen, get on the phone, tell somebody, text somebody, let them know that the Woman to Woman show, the Woman to Woman to Man show is on the air, and we are going to be talking about some powerful topics on today. As we talk about our topic on today, lay aside the weight. It's going to be powerful. So we're going to play a song, and then I'll be right back, and we're going to go right into our topic on today. Amen. I'm looking for a good song. How about Living on Top, Hallelujah, by Dwayne Woods. Let's listen to this song, and we'll be right back, and we will get into our topic on today.
The Bible declares that he has raised us up together and has made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say, oh! Living the best life, and I'm living a blessed life. I am blessed
in the heavenly with him.
And not only that, y'all, but I'm telling you that I'm walking.
Walking.
I'm walking in the realm
walking
of faith.
In the realm of faith.
And I'm a living miracle.
A miracle.
And I'm receiving the abundance.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The devil is defeated. God is exalted. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done. God is so good and worthy to be praised. No matter what's going on in your life on today, I want to encourage you to praise God anyhow, to give God the glory, to give him the honor, to give him the praise, even in the middle of it. Continue to believe God. Continue to put your faith in him. Continue to just make up your mind to take God at his word. Take him at his word. It's amazing when the disciples were asking Jesus, how could they do the work of the Father? And Jesus told them the way that you could do the work of the Father is to believe on him whom he has sent. Amen. We got to believe on Jesus, y'all. When Jesus came, he came as the solution to all of our problems. He came as the answer. Jesus is indeed the answer. He is the answer. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He is our bright and morning star. Jesus is the answer. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Come on, when all of your friends let you down, we know that Jesus is there. He will continue to be there through it all, through the fire, through the storm, through the wind, through the rain, through it all. Jesus will be there. So I'm encouraged on today, and I want to encourage you that no matter what you're going through, you can make it. You can make it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The devil is a liar. You can make it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I'm a witness. I am a witness that you can make it. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there are people today that don't feel like they can make it. I was looking at the news today on the internet. When I turn on my internet, I get the latest news. And as soon as I opened up the internet today, I saw a news story that had hit the news on today, and it says the headline is Kansas City Chiefs player dead in apparent suicide, believed link to second shooting death. And as I went on to read the story, it says that a Kansas City Chiefs player is dead in an apparent murder-suicide Saturday. The Kansas City Star and CBSSports.com reported the player's identity as 25-year-old Javon Belcher, a fourth-year linebacker from West Babylon, New York, who played college football at Maine. And it goes on to say that Kansas City police say the Chiefs player shot and killed his girlfriend at a suburban home and then drove 5 miles to the team's practice facility adjacent to Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri. The player then shot and killed himself about 8 a.m. Central Time, according to Kansas City Police Supervisor Andrea Kahn. The player was met by coaches in the parking lot of the practice facility and took his own life moments thereafter. It's amazing how sometimes people don't feel like they have anywhere to turn, and it's just so unfortunate that this guy actually felt the need to kill his girlfriend and then to kill himself. It's sad. It's just a sad story, you know, that he has all of his fame. He was a fourth-year player. And, you know, to have all of this fame, this young man, Javon Belcher, and then not have anything to live for, so it seems. So he didn't feel like he had a need to live, and he didn't feel like his girlfriend deserved to live. And they have a baby. They have a 3-month-old baby. So it's just quite unfortunate that I saw this news. And normally on this broadcast, I don't bring the news. But today, that was the first thing that hit me, that hit my eye gaze when I opened up my computer. And I was like, wow, you know, that's just a sad story. Amen. And the whole team, this guy was only 25 years old, what is it that at 25 you can feel like it's the end of your world? And the young lady was 22 years old. His girlfriend was 22 years old, and they had an argument early this morning at their home, and she ended up dead. He ended up dead, and now their baby is without a parent. So, you know, when I saw it, I said, you know what, that is just really in line with what I wanted to talk about today, which I had already put up, to lay aside the weight, you know, to lay aside the weight. The Bible tells us to lay aside the weight that so easily besets us, to lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Listen, there is nothing, that's what I was saying earlier when I opened up the broadcast, there is nothing so horrible in our lives that we don't feel like, we don't have to feel like we want to live. You know, listen, the devil is a liar. You know, no matter what comes down the pike, no matter what happens, you have to realize that it's not the end of the world. Listen, listen, God already knew the ending from the beginning, and he already knew. And let me tell you something, as long as you stay with God, you're going to make it, because he tells us in his word that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You can make it, amen, and that there is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. And we have to get to the point, especially as Christians, where we don't allow anybody to have that much power in our lives. We have to get to the point where we don't allow anything, any circumstance, to have that much power in our lives. Paul said in the book of Corinthians, he said, everything is permissible for me. He said, but not all things are beneficial. And then he goes on to repeat that. He says, all things are permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything. And I'm still on topic because I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the weight. You know, some people may look at this and say, well, what is she talking about, weight as far as pounds, or is she talking about weight as far as the burdens of life? Well, I'm talking about both. I'm talking about both because a lot of our weight issues, our overweight issues, have to do with food. You know, it's amazing because in that same scripture, Paul said, food for the belly and the belly for food. And he says, but God will destroy them both. In other words, you know, it's going to come a time when we're not going to need food. You know, we're not going to need food. And that's why the Bible was clear in saying that we don't live by bread alone. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I just wanted to just start off, you know, it's a sad story. It broke my heart. 25 years old, this young man, Javon Belcher, was 25 years old, a player. Pastor Anthony, maybe you can tell me more about who this player was, because I don't even know how much, you know, Pastor Anthony, you know, I don't watch football. I was sitting on the couch. Ray was here. We were talking to Ray and Kathy Jones, and Ray asked me, do I watch football? I don't know. I think we were at dinner or maybe at Ray's birthday party, and he asked me, do I watch football? And I commented, no, I don't watch football, but I will sit on the couch while my baby is watching football, you know. And we've gotten over the football fights. We've had a lot of football fights. So Pastor Anthony, you know that I don't watch football, but I don't know. Do you know this young man, Javon Belcher? They say he was a linebacker for the Chiefs. I don't know. Your mic is open. I don't know if you're able to talk. I know you're driving.
No, I don't know him. I just heard the news as you opened the broadcast today. I know about the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not doing that well this year. They're one of the worst teams in the league. But that particular player, I do not know. As far as the details of the murder-suicide, this is my first knowledge of hearing about it. But it does go into what we want to talk about today. It may not be that extreme for our listeners, but we realize in the times in which we're living in, Pastor, the spirit of suicide is so evident. It's not just, you know, suicide by the bombers in third world countries. A lot of people have those sick thoughts coming through their minds, and that's nothing but demonic. That is the devil himself. As you said, there's nothing that bad that we can't get past. You know, whether it's bills, a relationship, sickness or disease, anything, any failure of any degree, when that thought comes, we got to rebuke those kind of thoughts. We got to pray for people, Pastor, that have those troubled thoughts coming through their mind.
Yeah, that is so true that we do have to pray. And I wanna just do that now for somebody who might feel like the weight is too burdensome and they can't handle it. I wanna just pray. Father God, we praise your holy name, we worship you, and we magnify your name. God, we glorify your name. You are worthy to be praised. We pray right now, Father God, for even the family of this young man, Javon, and his girlfriend, oh God, and even the young baby. We pray for this young 3-month-old baby, oh God. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just ask, Father God, that you will, Father God, just continue, Father God, to send your spirit, Father God, to this family and help them to deal with this situation, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray for everybody impacted by these two deaths, oh God, by this murder-suicide. We pray, Father God, for your peace that surpasses all understanding to be with them, oh God. Lord, touch, Father God, even, Father God, the mothers, the fathers, the sisters, the brothers, the friends of this young man and his girlfriend, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, we pray for everybody who is listening that is burdened and feels like they can't make it, Father God. And we pray your peace upon their lives. Lord, you said that you would, as we looked unto you, that you would give us a peace that surpasses all understanding as we cast our cares on you, because you care for us. And Lord, we're coming to you not being burdened, but we're praying for those who are feeling the burden on today, those who are feeling the weight on today. And we're praying, Father God, asking, Father God, that you would give them peace, that you would give them strength, that you would encourage their heart, that you would help them to walk through whatever it is that they're walking through. Let them know that no weapon formed against them can prosper. Let them know that they are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Lord, lay your hands upon them. Let your anointing come into their presence to take away the pain, to take away the hurt, to take away the sorrow, oh God, to take away the frustration, oh God. And the Lord, you said, by your stripes we are healed, oh God. So we just pray for healing, that you came with healing in your wings, and we pray for healing and declare that healing is indeed the children's bread. So for those who are suffering, those who are sick in their bodies, sick in their minds, sick in their emotions, we pray healing right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, right now we bind up the hands of Satan coming against your people, trying to stop your people, oh God, from moving forward. And even those who do not know you, oh God, we come against, Father God, the hand and the plan of Satan to kill, steal, and destroy those, Father God, whom you have already chosen. You said in your word that it's not your desire that anyone should perish. So, Lord, we just pray right now for peace. We pray for deliverance from satanic bonds, strongholds. We destroy every stronghold. We thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke. And we bind up the strong man right now, and we lose healing. We lose peace. We lose deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, have your way and heal, deliver, give peace and joy to those who are frustrated and disappointed on today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to pray for those who felt like giving up. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Anthony, I want to, just talk some more about some of the things. Even I started up the song, the broadcast today, with Living on the Top. I want to just continue to talk about laying aside the weight. Laying aside the weight, and there are just so many ways to do that. I want to pray a short song, just call on the name of Jesus, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to continue to talk about laying aside the weight. And as we continue to pray for this family, we're going to come back in the second part of this broadcast and talk about laying aside the weight. I want to talk about some of that holiday weight. Amen. I want to talk about the new year and resolutions. And I want to talk about some of the burdens that would make us to behave in certain ways. So we're going to have, and I want to hear your input, too, on what you're doing to lay aside the weight. So we're going to come right back right after this, about 3 minutes, right after this song, Jesus.
Church boy!
This don't make no sense, Sean.
Hey.
I hope
hey.
I bring you glory on this
hey.
One, Father.
Hey.
Help me now.
Talk a little bit about laying aside the weight. Hebrews 12, 1 through 6, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, and scourgeth every son whom he receives. I like that first verse, wherefore, seeing as yet we are kept passed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does us easily, which does so easily beset us, the sin that so easily holds us back. And that word weight in the Greek is onkos. It's spelled O-G-K-O-S, but it's pronounced onkos. And it means whatever is prominent, protuberance, bulk, mass, hence a burden, weight, and cumbrance. And that is what God wants us to get rid of. Anything that holds us back from pursuing our goals in him. Amen. There is a scripture that says, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify with God in your body. Glorify God in your body. In other words, anything that holds you back from glorifying God in your body, in your life, you need to get rid of. We need to get rid of it. Just some things. It could be weight, as in pounds. And I've been dealing with that, dealing with dropping some weight. As of today, I've laid aside about 28 pounds. About 28 pounds. Hey, what was that? Was that applause that I heard? Did somebody say that there was some applause? Yeah, I'm praising God too. I didn't lose it because I'm not looking for it again, but I got rid of about 28 pounds, and it is taking some diligence and some work, but I have gotten rid of that weight, and that's what God wants us to do, lay aside the weight. But while I was losing the physical weight, Pastor Anthony, I was also losing some emotional weight, you know, some emotional baggage. And there are some of us out here who can testify that not only can we lose some pounds, but we can afford to lose some emotional pounds. Not only can we afford to lose some physical pounds, but there are some emotional baggage, some emotional weight, some emotional pounds that are holding us back from running this race with patience. My God, how many of you know that it's hard to run when you have some things holding you down, when you have some things weighing you down? And it's funny, honey, because sometimes we could be in the church for years and still be loaded down with weight, with excess weight. And I don't know what this means to you, Pastor Emily. I don't know if you want to share on this as far as having that excess weight and needing to get rid of it in order to continue to move forward, to be, do, and have all that God has for us to be, do, and have. What are your thoughts on that?
It's powerful what you said, and that's why I thank God for a show like this topic today. Because in the natural, you didn't just lose 28 pounds, almost 30 pounds, but eating right, exercising, determination, a regimen, a routine, of going to do something and determined in the natural to do certain things to lose that weight. We have to do the same thing emotionally and spiritually. Because as you talked about And I really want to talk about solutions today, not just assessing what's going on in our culture, in our world, because I think everybody can relate. There's something they can look to their life at right now in this moment and say that's a burden, that's a weight, that's a yoke. And God, as you read that scripture, gives us the ability to lay it down. Prayer is something that I use myself, prayer. When I feel heavy or burdened or weighted down, going to church. I'll never forget the early years in our marriage with the blended family situation and just being married. I guess husbands and wives out there can say amen. The weight of marriage alone, you and I going to church and you and I sitting up under the word, you and I hearing sermons and Bible study, all that help. And when we talk about church attendance today and why people should go to church, sometimes just going to sit in that pew, you'll be amazed at how the weight and the burden is lifted off of your shoulders. Another thing, reading the word, Pastor. Allowing time for God's word. These are all solutions and routine and religious practices that many Christians, if they were to be honest, they don't practice. They don't read the Bible like they should. They don't pray like they should. And some even struggle with going to church on a regular basis. And these are the solutions that I wanted to discuss today that will help those who feel burdened. You know, we're home in bed. We're burdened down because we don't want to go to church. Yes, the very thing that can lift that burden keeps you in bed and keeps you home depressed. So we gotta access what God has given us. So the wonderful thing about that, go ahead, you need to talk or you want me to finish?
No, that was good.
Okay, yeah, the wonderful thing about that scripture you talked about, we're going to talk about sin a little bit today, but it says lay aside the weight and the sin. Not the weight of sin, but I'm so glad you gave the Greek definition and the various meanings of that weight. Because, Pastor, if you were to be honest, some of us have so many things that we just did not let go yet, even since being a Christian.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and that was it. You know, why do we overeat? You know, why do we, you know, and I believe it goes hand in hand because Paul even put it together when he said, the body for food, the belly for food, and food for the belly. And then he talked about the Lord for the body and the body for the Lord. In other words, he was saying that Jesus, we are made for, the belly is for food. He took it in a spiritual, and I need to pull that scripture up. I have another scripture I wanted to share from 1 Timothy, but I wanted to pull that scripture up too, where he talks about, he puts it in a spiritual and a natural concept, you know, like, in other words, you talked about the fact that we have a lot of things going on in the natural, but we fail to partake of the things in the spiritual that can be a solution to all of the problems that we have in the natural. That's powerful right there. You know, the things that we have going on in the natural, the things that we have available to us in the spiritual realm can help us to deal with the problems that we have going on in the natural realm. Because this walk that we're walking, this life that we're living is a natural life, but it is more than a natural life, is a spiritual life. And that's what we have to understand, is that if we could get this thing down pat in the spiritual realm, then nothing in the natural realm will be able to hurt us. You know, if we could get to the point where we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, that's really what that scripture is saying. We're more than conquerors through Christ. As long as we walk in the spirit, we can conquer anything that will happen in the natural. I hope somebody's hearing what I'm saying on today. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talks about, starting with 6:13, he said, meats for the belly. I want to just open this up and open it up a little bit in context. He said, meats for the belly. This is what I was talking about earlier, where he says, all things in 1 Corinthians 6:12, he said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
And then in verse 13, he said, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And that's what I was talking about, where he talked about food in the natural, and then he went and talked about the spiritual, where he says the body is not for fornication, but it's for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. In other words, our bodies were made to glorify God, and Jesus, the Lord, came to save our bodies, to save our lives. So it's all spiritual. You know, sometimes people say, why are you so spiritual? What does God have to do with that? And I'm here to tell you that God has everything to do with it. As I've been on my journey to get rid of the weight, to lose the pounds, to shed the pounds, God has been helping me to shed a lot of stuff that was going on with me internally, my issues. Somebody has to say issues. You might as well say, I need to get rid of my issues. I need to get myself together. You know, there are a lot of us and we have issues. Some of us are mean. Some of us have a nasty attitude. Some of us are selfish. Some of us are spoiled. And we're saved, saved to the bone. So we love God, but we got some issues. Some of us lie. Some of us cheat. Some of us steal. And that's the sin that that same scripture talks about, lay aside the weight and the sin. And when what I would like to do is replace that word sin with issues, because a lot of these issues that we're carrying around, they're sin. They are sin. And we're saying, oh, that's just the way I am. Oh, God knows my heart. Or oh, I just can't help myself. No, you can help yourself, you know. You gotta allow God to take those issues away. Some people will call them demons. You know, some people want to hold on to those things that we call demons. Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. And we have to take accountability for our own actions. And then we have to begin to make the necessary changes so that we can lay aside the weight and the sin, the issues that so easily beset us, and run this race with patience. You know, when you lose your temper and start screaming off on your child or on your spouse, you know, that's an issue. That's a sin that so easily besets us. You know, people think of sins as fornication, having sex outside of marriage, homosexuality, lying, stealing. They think of the majors, but there's a sin called unforgiveness. There's a sin called bitterness. There's a sin called hardness of heart, you know, and we don't want to deal with these things, but these things have to be dealt with, because it's that very thing. Unforgiveness means I'm hurting in my spirit and I'm holding this grudge against this person, and I'm feeling real bad about it because it's rooted in my heart. So you know what? I'm going to eat that pack of that whole pack of Oreo cookies. I'm going to eat that whole half gallon of ice cream. I'm going to sit down and eat that whole bag of potato chips because I'm not feeling too good right now. So I need something to make me feel better. So we reach for our food and try to allow food to make us feel better, but now food has become our God. And what did God say? He said he's a jealous God. He's not going to have any other God before him, you know. And that food, it may be good to us, but it's not good for us, because what happens is we start to not only gain weight, but now we're sick in our bodies. You know, now you're dealing with high cholesterol and high blood pressure. Now you're dealing with hypertension and diabetes. Now you're dealing with even cancers. Certain cancers come from some of the toxins that we put in our bodies. An excess of sugar is no good for us, and that sugar can shut down your kidneys. You know, so with so many things, not only do you manifest obesity on the outside, but you begin to manifest sickness on the inside from eating these foods in excess. Gluttony is a sin. Gluttony is a sin. Craving food instead of craving God is another sin, because now you're putting food above God. So all of these things come into play when you think about the fact that we are on a
spiritual journey in the natural realm. Amen. So it's just so powerful when you think about it, how it all goes together. I don't know if that made any sense, Pastor Anthony. I just feel like I'm talking, but I don't know if it's making any sense what I'm talking about, tying the natural with the spiritual. Hello? Oh, amen. Amen. Pastor Amy, I'm sorry, honey, I had your mic closed. I don't know if that made any sense, tying the natural with the spiritual.
Yeah, you can hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, because as we go in the natural, you know, the First Lady, Michelle Obama, is trying to reduce the sweets and the sodas in the vending machines at schools, because naturally these bodies want the sugars and the salt and the feel-good food. So, you know, when we do something contrary to that and go for the salads and all this other stuff that's healthy, it's really not appealing. So what you're saying is that the things that bring us comfort sometimes are the things that God does not want us to partake of.
Right. I mean, the body is for food, the belly is for food, and food is for the belly. So God created food for the belly. But then he says the Lord is for man, and man is for the Lord. In other words, when we need a solution, when we need, the food has its purpose. In other words, somebody needs to hear this on today. Food has its purpose. God gave us food for our basic nutrients, you know, so that we can sustain life in our natural bodies. But he did not give us food, that, as we read in the scripture, he did not give us food for us to make food the solution to our problems. And a lot of people out there are overweight because they are using food. And my hand should be raised right now, because I have used food as a solution to some emotional problems. Like, I wasn't feeling that great, so I would reach for the food. And another thing, food can trigger stuff in you too. Like, you can eat one Oreo cookie, and that Oreo cookie will trigger something in you that will make you want to eat another cookie, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. It's just like Reese's peanut butter cups. Those many Reese's peanut butter cups, I can eat one peanut butter cup, but there is such a dynamic combination of that peanut butter and that chocolate and that sugar when it comes together in my mouth that it keeps me reaching for 2, 3, 4, 5. The week of Thanksgiving, I ate a whole bag. I might have given Pastor Emily maybe 10 out of the bag, but I ate a whole bag of those Reese's peanut butter cups. And it's amazing how sometimes food can trigger something on the inside of you to make you feel so good that you keep wanting to get that same rush. It's like a drug, you know. It's like a drink, and it can be addictive. Food can be addictive, and God does not want us to be addicted to food. He does not want us to be addicted to the feelings that we get from food, because food, that's why they call them feel-good foods. And God does not want us to look to food to solve our problems, but he wants us to look to him to solve our problems. Powerful when you think about it. And when I got it, Pastor Anthony, you preached on this week, the three C's to success. The three C's to success. And you talk about them all the time. What are they, those three?
Choice, change, and commitment.
Choice, yeah. The three C's to success. And you want to talk about that a little bit as related to this topic. How can, and I believe those three C's to success can go anywhere. How can they go into this particular topic of laying aside the weight?
It's powerful. You know, I work with some people, and some of the guys shared with me that they're trying to stop smoking. Some are actually even trying to stop drinking. And they said, but it's not easy. It's a challenge. And when you're a Christian, you have challenges, and you have things that seem almost impossible. But the Bible reminds us today that all things are possible with Christ. If I was to the place in life and I wanted to stop nicotine or stop smoking, and I was trying to do it on my own, I probably wouldn't feel as confident. But the fact that we are Christians and we have something that sometimes the world don't have, now I can go to God and pray, you know, Lord, help remove these cigarettes. Help remove the cravings for sweets. Help remove the taste for alcohol. Now we have something other than ourselves, and it's been proven as we approach New Year's, resolutions, Pastor, don't work. I mean, we have will, we can have a healthy desire, we can have a good intentions, but without Christ, so some things probably will never happen for people. And I'm so glad as I look back over my track record, again, you know, I when I was younger, indulged in drugs and alcohol, eating wrong food, which still sometimes is a challenge. But there are some things I can look to, like the alcohol, like the drugs, that I have been given the ability by God to put away. And that's what we're talking about today. Those drugs and those alcohols was a weight to me. And when he told us to stop drinking, he knew that our marriage was in jeopardy. Because, I mean, truth be told, we're arguing on our honeymoon. And God said, you know, your marriage is in jeopardy already, because if you keep going this way, look what's going to happen. So he's speaking not just through this program, but he's speaking to people directly, Pastor, and telling them specifically the weight that they need to lay down, the stuff that they need to deal with. And, again, it may be hard, but we got to go to God when things get overwhelming for us.
Yeah, and that's amazing that you talked about the fact that we were arguing on our honeymoon. My father, God bless his soul, was an alcoholic. And he and my mom, they did a lot of arguing back in the days when they were drinking. They were doing a lot of drinking. And as a result of that, he ended up being a horrible father and a lousy husband. By his own admission, he sent us an audio tape later on after he got saved and apologized to all of us for being such a horrible father and a lousy husband. But the alcohol really, really messed him up. It messed him up and made him do some things that he would not have done ordinarily. And that's what we have to realize, that drugs and alcohol hinder our ability to think straight. And, you know, there's just so many things that God tells us not to do in the Bible that we look at, or the devil would want us to think that these things are being kept from us, that God is trying to keep something from us, that God is trying to keep some pleasure from us. But if we looked at it through the spiritual eyes, we would see that God is really doing what a good father would do. He is protecting us from the detrimental effects of these things, of drugs and alcohol. And it's amazing because you talked about how we were drinking on our honeymoon. We were drinking alcohol on our honeymoon. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. First and foremost, we flew to Jamaica and they gave us champagne on the plane. I've never had champagne on a plane before, and we were in coach, you know, we were not in first class. So they gave us champagne on the plane on the trip to Jamaica. Then when we got to Jamaica, as soon as we got there, they gave us champagne. As soon as we got to the resort, they had a reception, and it was champagne at the reception. And we should have known something when the man met us at the front door as soon as we were getting off of the shuttle that brought us from the airport. And the man was so drunk, and it was like 9 o'clock in the morning. He was like, "You're going to have a great time." And he could barely stand up. So we should have known something then. And we were saved. We were saved. So we went into the reception area, and we had champagne at the reception area. And then we went on the beach, and there was an open bar on the beach. So we were on the beach that first day drinking, and we were drinking daiquiris, strawberry daiquiris. And that rum was so good with the strawberries, and again, it tasted so good. And we were just slurping them down. I think we had maybe two, but we started to have an argument.
And it was at that time, as a Christian woman, not even knowing God like I know him today, but it was at that time that God, something in me said to my husband, let's not drink anymore while we're here. I looked at Pastor Anthony and I said, let's not drink anymore while we're here. And he wasn't a big drinker. I was the lush. I was a big drinker. And he said, okay. So we were there for 4 nights and 5 days. And on the first day, we decided not to drink anymore while we were there. And we didn't drink anymore the whole time that we were there. We just had virgin daiquiris. That's when we started drinking virgin daiquiris. And we've been drinking virgin daiquiris ever since. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. But when I got home, there was so much alcohol in my house. When we got back to the apartment, and we were going to live in my apartment, and there was so much alcohol there because when I worked for Merrill Lynch, every year they would give me liqueur and champagne and wine, and clients would give me bottles, and I just had so much in the cabinet that I opened up that cabinet when I got home and took bottle by bottle, took the wine and the liquor and the champagne and the liqueurs out of the cabinet and poured it all down the sink, bottle by bottle. And I remember you saying to me, honey, you're wasting that stuff. Why don't you just give it to somebody? I think you said that. I don't know if you said it or not, or if it was just a thought that entered my head. It was so long ago. But I determined that I wasn't going to give it to anybody, that if it wasn't going to be good for me, it wasn't going to be good for somebody else. And we poured out all of that stuff and all of that alcohol. We poured out the alcohol and haven't had a drink since. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So it's almost 17 years. How long have we been married, honey?
You always try to get me on that one. We've been married 16 years. I was so blessed. T.D. Jakes talked about him and Sarita Jakes. He says 30 years of marriage. She says 29. And I guess that's going to be the way we're going to do it. Always 1 year off, but close enough. But, Pastor Rebecca, I know we're going to take some callers soon, but one of the things we're talking about, because today is December the 1st, and we want to end this year strong.
Yes.
You know, I preach about the man, 38 years, a lame man, when I talked about those 3 C's to success, and he was in that condition for a long time. And somebody listening and will listen to the archives have been in a situation for a long time that's burdensome. And God is saying, why not start today? Why not? You know, it took one day for us to make that decision. And he's telling that listener today, why not today? Why not allow the day to be the first day of the rest of your life?
Wow.
You don't have to go into 2014. You don't have to wait for watch night service. You can do it right now and say, you know what? I heard Pastor Anthony and Pastor Rebecca talking about their deliverance. Because people got to realize, I was partying, Pastor, maybe you longer than me, but from age 13 to 30, I was a partier.
Wow.
And drinking just was associated. Me and my friends, from being young on the block, we would ask the older guy to go and get liquor for us, and we'd give them 50 cents to a dollar, and they would give us younger kids who were underage drinkers, they would go in and give us access to alcohol. So it was part of my life up until age 30. So we're not talking about something that wasn't a challenge to put down. And sometimes even now, I work, again, with a lot of men, and they always tell me about their shenanigans over the weekend. And sometimes a thought may try to enter, but that's why I said, Pastor, with spirituality, we got to read our word, we got to pray, we got to go to church. Sometimes we need a prayer partner, we need somebody that we can call when we're tempted. The Bible says, pray that you enter, watch this, that you enter not into temptation.
Wow.
We always go to the sex, and we always go to fornication and lust, but being tempted to quit, being tempted to knock somebody's teeth out that get on your nerves, being tempted to curse somebody out. You can be tempted with a lot of things. Being tempted to go back to what you used to do. So we're not just talking about the temptation of sinful, lustful ways. Pastor, the temptation can go into a lot of different directions.
Yeah, wow, that's powerful. How about being tempted to feel like you're perfect or that you've arrived? You know, that's kind of like almost like the worst temptation, you know, to feel like I'm not going to curse. I don't curse. I'm not going to pick up that pornography. I don't do it anymore. I'm not going to get drunk. I don't drink anymore. We met a man we went to the movies. We had a date Thursday night. It was so nice. We had a date. It was just wonderful. And it had been a while. We believe in date nights. We believe in having a date once a week or at least once every 2 weeks. But it had been way too long since we had a date. And we went to the movies and we saw Flight. Now, Flight, I thought was a very good movie, except for the first 5 minutes. Where they, you know, the first 5 minutes, if you go, you know, just remember, I said the first 5 minutes are kind of like, you know, almost, you know, unbearable if you're not into that kind of stuff. But the first 5 minutes, but after that, the movie really, really took off. After the first 5 minutes of Flight, the movie really took off, and it was a wonderful, wonderful movie. It was a great message, and Denzel Washington, and we all know that Denzel Washington can play any part. And we were coming out of the movie. After we came out of the movie, we met a guy. We met this guy named Pat, and, you know, Caucasian brother, nice man. He came over to me after Pastor Emily had gone to the restroom, and we had talked to him a little bit in the auditorium where the movie was being screened, because he sat right in front of us. But Pat was talking to us. He turned around and he talked to us a little bit right after the movie, and then we all left out. Then we ran into him again in the lobby, and he started talking to me. But Pat began to tell me his testimony, that he had been 25 years clean, that he had been 25 years. He said marijuana was his problem. He had been off of the marijuana for 25 years, and he had been going to meetings and things of that nature. And then he picked up a joint. He picked up a bag of marijuana after 25 years of being clean. And we were telling him about how we stopped drinking on the beach in Jamaica. So we were sharing our testimony. Now, for him, it was 12-step. For us, it was nothing but Jesus, because we never had to go into a 12-step program. We never were in the rooms. You know, we never went to meetings, you know, or things like that. So we were sharing with Pat. I almost convinced Pat to be a Christian, y'all, because I was going in. But we had a good time talking to him that day, Thursday, in the lobby. And I said all of that to say that some people, I don't know what I say, why I said all of that to say, baby, why did I tell that story about Pat?
Because we were, you know, we were talking about how challenging it is sometimes as far as length of time, length of years, length of months, that you can be involved. You can be involved with something longevity-wise, but as I talked about temptation earlier, at any moment you can fall. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And Pat, he wasn't young. He was older. The guy just looked totally successful, and he shared with us, success is not an issue for me. I'm successful. He got into a beautiful silver Mercedes Benz, and you can see that the man probably was a prominent businessman. But he said, this thing had been a struggle for me, and he felt bad about relapsing, but after the relapse, he's been now clean another year. So he's back on the right road. And we were just sharing with him that, as you said, Pastor, and for our listeners, Jesus is the answer for us.
Yeah, amen. And that's what I was saying, the mistake of feeling like you've arrived, you know. And that's what happens so many times, that
after a certain amount of years of this walk, we've been walking with Jesus since 1994. I've been walking since 94, Pastor Emily for about since 93, I believe. But been walking with Jesus all of these years and feeling like you're dotting I's and crossing every T and feeling like you got it together and feeling strong spiritually. But it only takes 1 minute sometimes for something to click or something to push you or something to trigger you to that point where you find yourself doing something that you say you would not do. And it's good to be determined not to go back, but you got to continue to exercise yourself spiritually. And that goes back to what you were saying in the beginning of the broadcast today, Pastor Anthony, that we have to do spiritual things to continue to build our strength spiritually so that we will not fall into some of the old habits or so that we will not continue some of the habits that we have not yet laid aside. So, you know, it takes God. It takes Jesus. Some of these things you're not going to be able to do without God. You know, for me, losing the weight, I lost 28 pounds. I've been working out almost every day, eating the right foods every day. But even Paul, in the book, even in the Bible talks about it in 1 Timothy. It says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life and now is, and of that which is to come, having the promise of the life that is now and that which is to come. In other words, the Bible is saying that, yeah, it's good to exercise your body. It's good to do things that you know are going to keep you on the right track in the natural, but it says to exercise yourself unto the things of the Spirit. You have to exercise yourself unto godliness. Go to church. I mean, we sound like a broken record sometimes, baby. I know we do. But, you know, when we encourage people, go to church, you know, on Sunday or Saturday or whenever you go to church. Go to church. Read your Bible. Pray. My God, study the Bible. You know, these things are things that are exercising you spiritually. You have to exercise yourself unto godliness. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. You might start off right, like pouring out all the liquor. We started out right pouring out the liquor, but it took continuing to walk into the cathedral every single Sunday and every single Thursday. It took going to church twice a week and reading our Bible and watching Christian programming on TV for us to be able to sustain the success that God had given us. That's why I talked about Pastor Anthony's three C's to success: choice, change, commitment. We had to make the right choices. We had to be willing to change, and we had to be committed to those choices and those changes that God was making in our lives. It's powerful. When you do it God's way, you cannot fail. You cannot fail. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, we cannot have done this without Jesus. We could not have laid aside the weight without Jesus. And let me go one step further. You said, Pastor Anthony, you said resolutions, New Year's, because I believe resolutions work when you because a resolution is when you resolve in your heart to do something or not to do something, and then you couple that with faith and you couple that with works. Then it can work, choice, change, commitment. I believe that when you resolve to do it, it can work. But when it comes down to a day of the year and making a New Year's resolution and saying this year I'm going to do A, B, C, and D, then you're setting yourself up for failure. Because like my wonderful husband said, why not start today? And that's why I'm talking about weight. Right here in the middle of the winter, right? The first day of December, before Christmas and after Thanksgiving, after you gain those 5 pounds for Thanksgiving and just before you eat that food for Christmas and New Year's, I'm talking about weight. We're talking about weight because we want you to resolve to change today. we're talking about laying aside the weight and the sin, the bad habits, the issue, laying aside now. Not next year I'm going to be nicer. Not next year I'm going to stop smoking. Not next year I'm going to start going to church. But do it today. Do it now. Make the change now. If you really, really want to make the change, make the commitment now. Resolve to do it now. And I pray we're touching something in your heart to say, you know what? I need to start making some changes today. I'm not going to wait. Listen, especially in the area of weight, you know, pounds. If I have, I started my program, my eating right and exercise in July, in June. If I had to say in June, you know what, I'm going to wait until my birthday. Or if I was saying in September on my birthday, you know what, I'm going to wait until Christmas. You know, I would not be 28 pounds lighter. I had to start somewhere. And that's what we're saying to you on today. You have to start somewhere. And don't think that you can do this thing without God. Whatever it is, whether it's losing weight, being nicer, forgiving some folk, whether it's stopping some bad habits, whether it's starting the exercise regimen or writing that book, living the dream, starting that business, whatever it is, self-improvement, personal development, whatever it is, do it today. Do it now. Living that dream, do it now. Don't wait until next year. Lay aside the weight of procrastination. Lay aside the weight of doubt. Lay aside the weight of fear.
Come on.
Lay aside the weight of low self-esteem. Come on, you can do all things through Christ Jesus. You don't have to feel like a failure. Lay aside the weight of listening to the devil and his lies.
Come on.
You know, stop listening to the devil telling you that you can't be, do, and have that God, everything that God has ordained you to be, do, and have. You were created for God's glory. Go ahead, Pastor Anthony. We're going to take some calls. Go ahead, Pastor Anthony.
It's amazing because what you're talking about is a mindset. And I chuckled when you were talking about, you know, how prudent and diligent you've been about your nutritional health. But people got to realize you have two children in the house and myself. We still want the ice cream. We still want the chips. We still want the fattening foods in there. And sometimes you got to discipline yourself to say, no, I'm going to eat this banana and not the Doritos. So even in the real, in the spiritual world, honey, people are dealing with a real temptation on a daily basis. They're exposed to things that they wish they can change. Some people wish they was in a better neighborhood. They wish they were on a better job. They wish that, you know, certain things they didn't have to be exposed to. But in the real world, idealistically, you and I and those listening, we're going to have challenges. And that's why we say, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind. Because as you said, Pastor, I never forget Zig Ziglar and some of the material we've read, even looking at our president, he goes to church. Looking at so many successful people, they have religious practices. And sometimes we want to go from the bottom to the top and don't do the things that it takes to get there. We can wish, we can ask God for a miracle, but God sometimes is looking at us saying, now I did my part, now you do your part. So faith without works is dead. And as you said, Pastor, maybe it's going to take 20 years or 30 years for that person to get to that prominent or successful in the natural place that they know they can be, but you got to start today.
Yeah, start today. Amen. Praise God. And temptation is real. Honey, you, God bless you. Caller, we're going to put you on the air. Amen. We have a caller. I want to say this first. Honey, you talked earlier about temptation. Sometimes certain thoughts were into your head. I want to talk to the wives out there. There used to be a time when my husband would say stuff like that, and it would drive me crazy. I would be like, what?
You're supposed to be perfect. You're supposed to be saved. You're a man of God. You're a preacher. What do you mean these thoughts enter your head? You know, you're not supposed to even think about that stuff. How can you think about that stuff? I never think about that stuff. I never think about things from the past. And we would have these conversations where he would tell me that men are different from women, that men have a higher drive, even sexually, than women do. And, you know, and I would refute him, like, no, women, God's no respecter person. Women have sex drives, too. And, you know, I would go on and refute him. And he would try to make me understand something that I really couldn't understand being a woman, because I am a woman and he is a man and God created us differently. But finally, I can say that I've been delivered. I wanted to just share that testimony, honey. When you said that sometimes thoughts try to come into your mind, it didn't bother me. For the first time, I believe I've been delivered. By gosh, I think I've been delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, and it's great because deliverance comes like that. You know, it's like in a flash. All of a sudden, you realize you've been delivered, you know, from being angry about what he's struggling with. Come on, y'all. How can I be angry about something my husband is struggling with? It's his struggle. All I'm here to do is be his helpmeet, and I'm trying to save him. I'm not Jesus. Come on. And wives, you can't save your husband. Don't be his mama. Don't try to save him. Don't be God. Don't be the Holy Ghost. Don't try to do the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to do his job. And guess what? Guess what? If you have a desire to be his savior and to make him into what you need him to be, then you need to be delivered. And I'm admitting that because you just heard me say it. I needed to be delivered. I'm trying to make Pastor Anthony into what I need. I think he should be. And God's like, move back, girl. That's my job. Come on. So, Pastor Anthony, I have been delivered.
That is amazing because you know you almost practice what you preach when you teach women at conferences and you go around and do your woman's ministry talking to women, and you constantly remind from the teenager to the senior citizen, you can't change him. And
yeah.
you've said it time and time again, and now apparently you believe what you've been saying. But I kind of know why you said what you said, but I totally understand, and that's why I thank God for our listeners who say, you know, you guys make the words of the Bible come off the page. You make it so relevant and real. You make it practical and understanding. Your sister Janice and my brother Rodney and our immediate family, sometimes they love the way we talk about the gospel and the freedom of the word, because we're living in the real world. And if we make it too spiritual and put it on the top shelf where you can't get to it, what good is it going to do? So we want to make it so relevant, so real to your life. And that's why, honey, I'm glad you can share such a powerful testimony about, listen, I can't change Anthony Simmons. He was a certain, when I met him, I see God working in his life, and I see God still working on my husband. So I just thank God that somebody out there needed to hear what you just said.
Yes, amen. And you told the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, that thoughts will come into our mind. That's why Paul said, take every thought captive and make it obedient to the word of God. You know, we have to take every thought captive. But right now we're going to take some callers, amen, and put them on the air. Area code 754, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast today. Let your voice be heard.
Thank you. God bless. God bless. Yeah, I want to jump in on the part of that, too. How can an imperfect person make somebody perfect?
Ooh, Jesus. Mm.
It's impossible.
Well, Apostle.
You were saying about the wife, and I'm not jumping on the women, but we as human beings, we are imperfect. But if you be my way, then you will be perfect.
That's good.
If you allow me to make you the way I want you to be, then in my eyes, you will be perfect. But you're not perfect.
Yes.
So how are you going to, how can you take me to a place that you don't have access to? First, like the Bible says, work on yourself. Work on yourself. Work on your, before you come over here and start working on me, work on yourself. Because if we get a magnifying glass, I'm quite sure we'll see a lot of spots and blemishes and things that don't belong there either. But like you say, and we spend too much time as husbands and wives trying to get that other person perfect and no time on working on ourselves. Every man must give an account for himself before God. Just for using names, Pastor Rebecca tried to work on Anthony. But God said, well, what did Pastor Rebecca do for herself that she may be perfect? And so then another thing, the most important thing is God says, I will perfect that which concerneth you. So that lets me know that God is the one with the ruler. He's the measuring stick. He got the measuring stick of where your place of perfection is.
Yes. And you know, that is so true, because here again, another example, Apostle Amica, and God bless you, sir. Thanks so much for calling in. Another example is, I told Pastor Anthony, I'm going to laugh at this one. I told Pastor Anthony years ago that he could not get a belly. I said, if he got a belly, a stomach.
Okay,
you know how
okay,
guys
sorry.
Get these. You know how men get older, and then, you know, because Pastor Anthony was real thin when we met, and he was fit, and he's still fit, you know, and he's still thin. But guys get these bellies after 40. They start developing these bellies, these guts, and they call them a beer belly. I don't know what they call them in Christendom, because the men are not drinking beer. But I told him he couldn't get a belly. So I said, if you get that belly, I'm leaving you, it's over. But, you know, he didn't say anything about me not getting a belly. Now, when I married this man, I was like 185 pounds. And at the point in June where I looked in myself in the mirror, I was way over 50 pounds overweight from the time he married me. And he accepted me that extra 50 pounds and all and never said a word. But he began to develop a gut, and I'm looking at him sideways like, I told you not to get a gut. I told him not to get a belly. But he was so gracious, my husband, that he never said anything about my weight. I guess he knew I would go off if he did. But he didn't say anything about my weight. But I'm looking at him sideways about his little gut. And he still looked good. The kids are like, Daddy looks the same. Daddy looks the same. But they're not saying anything about Mommy, because Mommy done gained 50 pounds. But here I am with myself going on down my path. But I'm still looking at him sideways, like you said, and not doing anything about myself, but looking, still trying to keep him in check. See, there's a problem there. Like you said, how can someone who's not perfect perfect somebody, you know, when it's not that person, it's not in that person's power? So that's good. That was good.
And overall, we don't.
Okay, what, guys? Go ahead. Who's going to say something?
Go ahead, Pastor Andrew.
One of the things, because we're talking about laying down the weight, laying down the burden, and sometimes we're burdensome because we take on other people's problems.
Caller, I see you. Don't hang up. We're going to put you on. Go ahead.
We take on and internalize other people's struggles and what other folks should be doing. And we can't, that's what Apostle's saying, we can't be God. And sometimes we're so consumed with what's going on in another person's life that we're walking around still burdensome. And as you talked about, we don't pull that boat out of our own eye. But sometimes, Apostle and Pastor, if we think about it, sometimes when we look at ourselves in the spiritual realm, we can get overwhelmed by what we see.
Whoa. Wow. So easy to look at someone else. Go ahead, Apostle. Wow.
Going back to the weight, we were talking about the weight. And Pastor Anthony, he took me where he took us where I was looking to go to, about we have to release the waste of people. My testimony for 2012 was the Lord gave me that same scripture: lay aside every weight that was so easy. A weight and sin that will so easily beset you, stop you from going where you're supposed to be going and achieving what God is. And I think I testified in New Creations how the Lord gave me a miracle the first of the year. He gave me a miracle. I could not believe what He did for me. And the miracle was on my cell phone. He said, "Go down your contacts, and everybody who is is not going where you going, delete them." And we have to delete people out of our lives so that we can go further. You're trying to carry weight. Some people are not programmed in your life, but for nothing but to be a weight. W-E-I-G-H-T, a weight. You could have been moving faster if this person was in here. You could have been running along, going into other things, but certain people in your life. And that's the problem. That we have to, sometimes the weight is people that we know. Okay, you just got saved. You just got saved, and your best friend has not gotten saved, and you want to live right. You want to live and walk up right before God. Okay, you just got saved, but your best friend is still clubbing, is still smoking, is still drinking, is still living the. But what do? Do you try to hang out with that person, or you say, "Well, look, you're my friend, but we can't hang out like we used to, because I'm trying to," and so many people are trying to keep that person and walk with the Lord at the same time. It's like a tug of war. The Lord saying, "Come over here," and that person saying, "No, come back to sin." And God said, "Come over here on my side," and that other person on the right would say, "No, you come back over here. Hey, you remember the parties we went to? You remember the clubs we went to? You remember the things we did?" And God is calling for us. You have to make a concrete choice. And that comes, like Pastor Anthony said, by mindset. The choice must start in the mind first. Watch this. Not in the mouth, but in the mind. We all say we're going to lose weight. We all say we're going to push back. How many of us? Diets is one of the shortest lived promises known to man. I'm going to go on a diet. Oh, I gained 10 pounds over the holidays. I'm going to go on a diet. And that on how long that lasts?
Wow. It doesn't. That's so good. That's why we can't go on a diet. You can't go on a diet. You got to make some changes. You have to make a lifestyle change by changing your mindset about food and about being healthy and about exercise. If you want to lose weight and be fit, but you hate exercise. So you say, "I hate exercise." So now it's locked in your mind. "I hate exercise. I hate exercise. I hate exercise. I hate salad. I love chocolate. I love lasagna." So you really have to begin to train your mind to say, what, I love working out. And it's not a lie, but you have to even begin to get yourself, find an exercise that you love and do that one. Find something that you really like doing. When it comes to working out, don't do something grueling and something that you hate. And something that is boring to you, but find something that you really like and do that. And as we begin to change our mindset,
that's what you both have said, Apostle Amica and Pastor Anthony, that when we change our mindset about not just losing weight, but about doing anything beneficial to us and getting rid of things that are detrimental to us, when we change our mindset, then and only then can we have success. We got another call. I want to give this caller an opportunity to talk because Blog Talk Radio has been acting shady and cutting me off at the 3 o'clock hour, so we only have about 35 more minutes. Area code 908, you're on the air. Let your voice be heard.
God bless, Pastor Rebecca. This is Sister Daniela.
Oh, God bless you, Sister Daniela. God bless you. What's on your heart? Let your voice be heard.
I was listening to what you and your husband were saying about, you know, date night, and it's good that you mentioned that because me and my husband, the last time, you know, we really, like, went out was, like, 2 years ago, and Lord's willing, we're trying to, you know, go out, like, sometime next week to, like, the movies because we ain't been out in so long. It's like, you know, when he gets busy and I get busy, we just, like, go to bed, like, real early, like, 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening, and it's like, and you do so much, and your body is so tired, you just don't have energy to go out or do anything, you know?
Yeah. And date night is just so important for your marriage because it gives you the opportunity to refocus on each other. You know,
right.
Whether that be is a movie, you know, or going for a walk, and, you know, just getting out, it's cold now, so, you know, like a museum, going to a museum, or even getting together and going to, you know, my husband and I, we've been even going on dates and going to church on a date night, like just us, the two of us, and gone somewhere where not a lot of people knew us, and we would just spend time because that's something that we enjoy doing. Going to dinner, you know, just going to sit down at a dinner table across from each other. And sometimes you have to budget for your date nights, you know.
Right.
Put aside, let's say we're going to go out once a month. So you put aside $10 a week, you know, $20 a week, $20 a week. So that when the end of the month comes, you got $80 just specifically for that date. So there are ways that you can make it happen, or even going someplace where there is no charge. Like I said, we'll go to a church service, you know, but it's just the two of us, and we sit there and enjoy church together. So I don't know, maybe Apostle Amica and Pastor Emily could tell us other ways that we can date each other, but it's important. Oh, another thing that we do for date night is we'll rent a movie. We will rent a
mm-hmm.
movie. We'll get us some popcorn. We'll get us some candy from the store, and we'll dim the lights and sit on the couch and watch the movie. And it's just the two of us. And then we do everything. You know, we have a real date. You know, we get real romantic. We rub each other's shoulders and, you know, I'm not going to go into details. I'm not going to let y'all know everything.
Amen. No, I understand what you were saying, but sometimes, you know, I get real tired and my husband starts rubbing my arms. I'm like, no, Emil, you know, I don't want to be bothered because I get tired sometimes. Like today, I've been very busy this morning, you know, cleaning the house, washing and drying the clothes, and my husband, he's still asleep because, this is 3 nights now. You know, he's even working the graveyard shift and coming home 8, 9 in the morning, and he's, like, real tired. So I'm like, I have to, you know, do what I have to do, like clean the house. I just wash and dry the clothes, and I look at the time. I said, well, let me get on the show, you know?
Yeah, and that's so important. And another thing, another way you can have a date night is have a romance night. A romance night, or in your case, a romance morning, you know, where you prepare yourself for a romantic night with your husband, whether it's taking that shower, taking that bubble bath, putting on some, getting yourself prepared mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and getting yourself prepared for your husband to even surprise him, you know, the thing that he least expected, because he expects you to be tired and worn out. And sometimes it's good to just say, you know, tonight I'm going to take a shower, I'm going to put on some sweet-smelling lotion, and I'm going to put on my nightgown or whatever and just go to bed with my husband, you know. And these are some things that we as women,
have to do, because sometimes we are tired running the household, cleaning the house, doing the shopping, cooking the food, taking care of the kids, going back and forth to work, and it's doing our spiritual regimen, doing our physical regimen. Sometimes we do get tired, but we have to remember that we're married and that these men that we're married to are physical. They're physical beings, and thoughts will pop into their heads. And not only that, but Bathsheba is standing by the water cooler. You know, Bathsheba is on the job. She's even at FedEx delivering packages. I'm like, well, he works at FedEx. So you got women. I'm like, what? A woman wanted to go to lunch with you. Are you crazy? You know, so Bathsheba, she's everywhere. You know, and she's stroking that ego and telling him how good he looks and how strong he is and how smart he is and how anointed he is. She's in the church. You know, and so we have to be sure that we are stroking our men's egos and that we're stroking everything else that needs to be stroked. For our husband, not our men, but our husbands, that they are being taken care of, because our bodies when we get married are not our own, but they belong to our husbands, and it's just so important that they are taken care of. And I can't believe I just said everything I said on the air, but it's the real deal. It's the real thing. Guys, they're so quiet. The guys are
so
quiet.
It's so on time. I'm glad that you said that. It's our marriages is what we make it. Marriages always work. Marriage is work. But to reap the benefit depends on how much work you put into it.
Wow.
And like you said, young lady, to go out and go out your way. Even if watch this. I'm not saying that he will, but like Pastor Rebecca said, even if you do get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and 9 o'clock, whenever he comes home, and yes, he's tired and sleepy and what have you, but just the fact that you got up and got yourself together and got sleep out your eyes and looking beautiful when he come in. And you say, baby, I'm so sleepy, I'm so tired. But yet, you blessed him while he's sleeping. While he's sleeping, he'd think, man, my wife, man, she was laying across the bed or in the couch or whatever. She was all so beautiful. Let me get a quick nap so I can get up. And we both win. It's a win-win situation. You know, don't want to. Now, wait a minute. Hold up. You ain't going to bed. Don't do that. You ain't going to bed. You see how what I did and I fixed my hair, put on my makeup, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning and I've got my what you wear and stuff on. And he says he's tired. Because there's been nights that the woman says, oh, baby, I would, but I'm so tired. I'm just so tired. And you want the man to say, well, okay, baby, okay. So then when he come in and he says, baby, I'm so tired, and now we got an argument because I'm tired. Like I said, you can't win for losing.
Right. And that's that's so true, Apostle. And that's why we got to live with each other in understanding, too. And again, it goes back to not wanting to control each other. You know, because just because we want something does not mean that our partner is going to want that same thing at the same time. And that's what a Sister Daniela was saying when she first called in. Sometimes he'll rub her arm and she doesn't feel like it. You know, there might be times that she approaches him and he might say, I don't feel like it. You know, but there will be a time when we come together, when we begin to minister to each other in that area, especially in the area of lovemaking. I used to tell Pastor Emily, make love to me in the kitchen. Not literally. I mean, come on. But, you know, begin to make love to me. Begin to romance me in the morning, you know, and that way by the time it's time to go to bed, it's not, you know, all of a sudden that's going to happen and your needs are met and I'm not even in the mood yet. And now it's over and you're snoring and I'm laying here pissed off, I mean upset. So it becomes, let us get
on one accord. Let us begin to work towards the common goal. The Bible tells the man to live with the wife in full understanding. The Bible tells the couple to submit to each other as we submit to each other, submit to one another. In other words, it comes to me understanding my husband and his needs, and him understanding me and my needs. It's us understanding each other and our different temperaments and our different moods. You know, as you live with your husband and as your husband lives with you, Sister Daniela, you'll begin to know each other, you know. And that's the thing. Apostle Amica and his wife, they know each other. Me and my husband, we know each other, you know. And now another thing is what Apostle Amica talked about was grace. Giving each other grace. Yeah, I want him. I prepare for him, but he's tired. Yeah, I want her. I prepare for her, but she's tired. Okay, I'm giving them grace now. I understand they had a long day. They had a long night. You know, there'll be time for that later. You know, and then we learn how to live with each other in understanding, in grace, in gentleness, you know, in patience. That's, those are fruit of the Spirit. That now we're not demanding each other to be, trying to make each other be what we need each other to be. No, I can't make Pastor Anthony love me. You know, I can't make him be romantic. I can't make him buy me flowers. I can't make him write me love letters. These are things that I would hope he would do, but I can't make him do it. And I told him a long time ago when we were having so many problems in our marriage, I said, honey, No, I didn't tell him. I told myself, I want him to love me. I want my husband to love me. And check this out. I want my husband to love me because he just can't help himself. I want him to be so madly head over heels in love with me because I'm just that irresistible to him. Not because I'm manipulating him with my emotions or my tears or not because or my tantrum. Not because I made him love me, but because he finds me so irresistible, but he can't just help himself but love me like he does. And that's real love. I want real love. I don't want manipulated love. I don't want forced love. I don't want to make him treat me a certain way. I want him to love me for real. For real, for real. Amen.
We want it mutual. We want it mutual. You know, sometimes I tell my wife, you know, hey, come on. She said, well, no, but I'll do it because you asked me to. Then I say, no, I don't want it like that. I want you to want me too. Don't just do it because of obligation. Do it because you want to do it. And that's the thing that we have to, as married couples, yes, your body belongs to me, my body belongs to you. But like Pastor Rebecca said, but you know, and even so, in the foreplay starts in the
kitchen.
The romance starts. Well. but you know how we worship God is the same way. We are allowed to worship each other. When you say sweet things to each other, that's the same thing. It's the same thing. You say, oh, Lord, I just love you. Lord, I love you. And then you tell the lady, hey, I just love you. Oh, baby, I just love you. Oh, you just, oh, look at you. You're so nice and beautiful. Oh, I thank God for you. That's worship. That's worship.
Wow.
And sometimes, you might not get nothing from it.
That's good. The seed was sown.
And then when you least expect it, you know what? I'm going there. She said I could, so I'm going. And you know, sometimes I'll be laying in the bed about to go to sleep and just like, you know, okay, this ain't going nowhere. And my wife would get in the bed and she'll pull the cover back and turn me over and hug me and kiss me. And surprise, surprise, surprise.
Lord. I tell you, this archive is going to blow up because we're teaching good, and that's why so many marriages are failing, so many marriages are in trouble, because lack of intimacy is one of the biggest reasons. that marriages are in trouble. We're not being intimate with each other. We are manipulating each other, and that's something good. Like you said, worship me. Tell me how much you love me just because you want to tell me, not because you want something from it. You know. Don't start telling me how great I am. Don't start hugging and kissing on me just because you want something. You know, but let us be intimate with each other on a regular basis. And then surprise. You know, that's good. Is that Pastor Anthony?
Yeah, that's me. I love the marriage piece. It's just so awesome. It's just so awesome what you're saying, because our topic today is laying down the weight. And Pastor Apostle and Pastor and even Sister Daniela, over 50% of marriages are ending in divorce because we're talking about this weight. And sometimes, as you said, if we don't do some of the things you three just discussed, we do feel burdensome. We do find a way out. We do have our needs not fulfilled. So I just thank God for that. But we do have some single listeners, and we're not going to forget them as well. We're talking about, you know, sometimes Pastor used to teach, you know, sometimes you take yourself out. That won't be a burden. You go to the movie, you date and become part of, you know, church groups, single groups. There's times a burden on a single person even. Maybe somebody can help me out. There's sometimes a burden on the single person.
That's good.
I'm frustrated because I you guys talking about marriage, you have a spouse. What about that burden or that weight for somebody who don't have nobody, who don't have these opportunities that we just discussed? But I thank God that this was part of the discussion, because marriages pass, as you said, a lot, believe it or not, in because of this area of intimacy.
And that's the weight, too. That's part of the weight, too. And that's very good, Pastor Emily, to even begin to turn it around and talk to the singles, too, because that's very good. There's the weight of unhappiness in marriage. There's the weight of not feeling fulfilled in marriage. There's the weight of feeling ignored in marriage. And that's why we were discussing some of the methodology of coming out of that, from the prescription for those particular issues. And then when you think about single people, Pastor Amaker hit on something when he talked about foreplay. When I said, okay, we get ready to go deeper, but what he talked about was the fact that God allows us to worship each other like we worship him. And he talked about how we worship God. Oh, God, you're so wonderful. Oh, God, you're so great. Oh, God, you're so magnificent. You're awesome, God, and I love you, God. And how we love on God, that's something that we have to continue to do as individuals in marriage and outside of marriage, to make sure that we are loving on God, to make sure that we are worshiping God, to make sure that we are telling God how awesome he is, to make sure that we are giving God the sacrifice of praise with the fruit of our lips, opening our mouths and telling God how wonderful he is, how magnificent he is, and not because of what we want from him. This is what that was so powerful, but what Apostle Amica was talking about, not because of what we want from him, but because of who he is, not because of what God can do for us, but because of what he has already done, because we love him so much, we worship him. And I would say to the married person and to the single person that your greatest fulfillment in life is going to come from loving on God, from worshiping God and giving him the glory, giving him the honor, giving him the praise, from opening up your mouth and giving God that sacrifice of praise. And Pastor Emily, you know, I just taught about this on our Bible study on Wednesday, that when we worship God, that God comes and we give him a sacrifice. When the sacrifice was put on the altar, when Solomon dedicated the temple and he put the sacrifice on the altar, it says that God came down in the form of fire. He sent fire down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. He burnt up the sacrifice, and his glory fell in that place. And when we sacrifice our praise to God, God is turned to us like a consuming fire. There's a consuming fire that comes in our belly. My God, that fire in our belly that is you cannot compare the fire of God to the fire of lust, or the fire even of ecstasy from making love to your spouse. It cannot even be compared to the fire of God, because the fire of God is so much greater, that the fire of God comes and the glory of God comes and it fills every empty place. So for the single person, your fulfillment, your greatest fulfillment, and even the married person, I'll say it again, because you can't get from man what you can only get from God, will come from worshiping God and loving on God and spending time praising God, doing the spiritual first. And then like Pastor Anthony said, take yourself to dinner. Buy yourself some flowers. Write yourself a love note. Tell yourself how wonderful you are. Treat yourself real special. And do this too. Hold yourself for marriage. Don't give yourself away.
Uh-oh.
Don't allow yourself to be taken advantage of by a man or a woman that won't commit to you in marriage. That's why we talk about laying aside the weight of the weight and the sin. Because sometimes when we give ourselves as Christians, I want to talk to the Christians, sometimes as Christians, men and women, when we give ourselves away and we're single and we're laying down with people who are not our spouses, we come out of that with guilt and shame. Now we come out with the weightiness of the sin that we've just done, that we've just committed, not against our own, not against anyone else but ourselves and against our God. And we come out with that, and that's just what God does not want us to carry. So the greatest thing you can do is, as a single person, is keep yourself and save yourself for marriage, if that makes any sense.
That makes a lot of sense. I want to apostle our thoughts on that. But, Pastor, I was saved about a year before I met you, and exactly what you're talking about in my singleness, I went to church every time the church is open. I had a Bible that I taught from the floor up. I got into that word so much. I studied that word. And by the time I met you, I was so bold to make a statement, I put nobody before my God. Because I already built a relationship that first year being a Christian with God that was unbreakable. So in your singleness, what you're telling single people, Paul says it in that seventh chapter to the church of Corinth, in your singleness, you have time to do so much. To do so much as it relates to ministry, getting yourself together. By the time I met you, honey, you were ready to buy a house, enrolled in college, and just doing so many things in your singleness. You had already got to a certain place of success, not waiting on somebody to validate you, not waiting on approval from man, but you were already climbing the corporate ladder and doing some great things. So in your singleness, single people, take advantage of that time.
Yeah. That's good. That is so good. In that case, lay aside the weight, W-A-I-T. Stop waiting. Stop waiting. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? The weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, of procrastination can make you wait, W-A-I-T, too long to do the very thing that you need to be doing right now. Don't wait. What are you waiting for? Why are you waiting to be the best that you can be? Why are you waiting for somebody to validate you when God has already told you that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that you're created in His image, that you're worthy of honor and respect? Why do we wait to get things right when we know it's wrong? Lay aside the weight, and the sin is so easy besets you. These things are just holding you back, from giving God the glory in your life. There is something that God has already prepared in advance for you to do. The Bible tells us that in the book of Ephesians. He has already prepared good works in advance for you to do. And guess what, y'all? It's not all in the church. Everybody thinks that good work is being a part of the fivefold ministry, being a preacher, a pastor, apostle, a prophet, a teacher. But no, there are some spheres in the world, the mountains, the seven mountains, education, entertainment, technology, health, finance. There are so many marriage, family. There are so many different other spheres that God has prepared for you to operate in so that he can get the glory out of those spheres in your life. There is something that you can be doing for God right now, and it does not necessarily have to be in the church. So I want to encourage you on today, lay aside the weight. Don't let anything hold you back from being the best you that you can possibly be, because that's what God getting the glory is really all about. We talk about living holy, and that's a, you know, that's definitely a requirement. God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." We talked about being, you know, walking the Christian walk. Ultimately, it all comes together. If you take every single broadcast we do, you will see that that word works together. It all comes together. It all ties in together. Apostle Amica, I'm going to give it back over to you to make whatever inputs you have on that topic. Sister Daniela, your mic is still open. But at this time, Apostle Amica, I'm going to give it to you to make any remarks that you wanted to make.
First of all, thank you. First of all, those that are single, the person that you have your eye on, watch their love walk with God.
Oh,
amen.
Because if they won't love God, they won't love you. So if they, you know, halfway come to church and never come to prayer and miss Bible study and just Sunday morning running up and down the house, that's probably not the person you want to hook up with. Because it's all showing me. Actions speak louder than words. Trying to say a lot in a little time. But what you see is what you're going to get. Basically, what you're going to skip. What attracted me to my wife was her love for God and for God's house. She was working in God's house. She had a hunger for God's house. She was thankful to God's house. I said, man, she's an awesome young lady. I can get with that. Because she was everything that I desired. And then second of all, we're in 2013, but regardless, according to the word, dating is not scriptural. Courtship says it's me and you. And I'm not coming to see whether or not we're going to make it or not, but I made up my mind. It's me and you, but you have me. But before you step to that person, you didn't step because they got a nice brand new car and they wear nice clothes or stuff like that. If that's all you're looking for, then like Pastor Rebecca said, then when you jump in the bed with them, that's all you got. You just got there, and then that person said, well, you really didn't want me. You wanted what I had to jump in the bed. So we as Christians that are courtship. Look for courtship. Sir, I've been looking at you. Ma'am, I've been looking at you. And I love what I see, the God that's in you. I love God that I see in you. I love how I see you worship and just on fire for God. I love all of that. And that's what attracted me to you. What I see of your worship and your spiritual life, as opposed to 24/36/24. Oh, I like her because she looked the way I want. That ain't gonna help you. Let me tell you, young men and young ladies, that's not gonna help you because he's what you like. What you need might be just the opposite of what you like, but that person will be the best person for your life. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
And honey, I really want you to.
Pastor Emily got dropped. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
The holiday is coming up. We might need to explore this topic a lot more because it's in the holidays that a lot of people are like, oh, I want to be with somebody. And a lot of times they settle for just anything just so somebody can give and say, hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year with, and it really is no good thing. But now it's April, May of next year, and you might have problems that you shouldn't have had it if you just had to wait it. Just
yeah.
gotta wait a minute. Just wait. You know, don't get overwhelmed with the holidays. God bless.
Amen. That's good. God bless you. Amen. I want to. I'm going to maybe next week. I think next week we need to pick up some more talking about the weightiness of just feeling like you got to be with somebody, just having settling for less, and how do you know if he's or she's the one. We talk about relationships. It was on my heart this morning to talk about relationships, and we ended up talking about relationships and marriage anyway. We only have about five more minutes, so I'm going to wrap this up. God bless you, Sister Daniela. Did you have any more remarks before I close your mic?
No, that was all I had to say. That was all.
Well, I know you got some help today. Amen. So remember what we said. Make yourself available for that date with your honey, and God's going to get the glory. God bless you.
God bless.
Enjoy your date. Enjoy your date. Let me know. Come back and let us know how everything went.
Amen.
No deep. We don't need all the details, but you know.
No, I know.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Pastor Amney is back. Okay, honey, I'm sorry. You wanted to say just before we go, you wanted to need to talk about something?
No, I wanted to pray, and that's why, you know, I'm on my cell, and the battery actually died when I mentioned the word pray.
Wow.
So I know we're supposed to pray now. But,
Amen.
Your topic is so important. I want you to pray for that person. We touched so many areas today, whether it's the married couple, the single person, or you started off the program with that spirit of suicide. Whatever the weight is, I want you to pray that God will deliver them and free them up today before we close out at that 3 o'clock.
Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you again, as I did at the beginning of the hour, that you can make it no matter what you're going through, no matter what the battle, no matter what the weight is, that you can lay aside the weight that so easily besets you, and you can make it through every trial, every struggle, every problem, every issue in life. And that with God, you can make it. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you know, we talked about Jesus earlier being the way for us that's helped us to stop drinking, to pour out the liquor, to pour out the champagne and all of the wine. Jesus was the way for us to stay married, and he continues to be the way for us to put down those things which are not conducive to God's best life for us. And not only that, but we have eternal life through Christ Jesus. We know when we leave here, we are not doomed to the fires of hell, but we are going to be inhabitants of the new heavens, the new earth with God, with Jesus. So we just offer Jesus to you. If you don't know him, he came and lived and died so that we would not perish, but we would have eternal life. I offer him to you. If you want to know more about Jesus, you can contact me directly about having a personal relationship with Jesus. You can contact me directly at powerintheword1@yahoo.com or through Facebook, and I would be glad to lead you into a personal relationship with Jesus. But right now, I want to pray. I want to pray for you. Father God, we praise your holy name, and we worship you. We magnify your name. Lord, I thank you for every listener, every person on today, Father God, who tuned in, who might be feeling weighty, who might have issues with weight that are due to the various weights that we encounter on a daily basis in our lives. I pray first for that person who's trying to shed the pounds, Father God, and I ask, Father God, that you continue to give them the ability, Father God, to move forward with a nutritional eating plan and with an exercise plan, being able to put aside those things that are not good for the body, Father God, to put aside the sugar and the salts and the fat, oh God, and begin to make healthier eating choices. And I pray for that person, Father God, who is dealing with the weightiness of life, Father God, that you would give that person a peace
Wow, that surpasses all understanding. Help them, Father God, to get into your word. Help them to go to church. Help them, Father God, to listen to programs such as this, Father God, that will encourage and edify them and strengthen them in their walk with you so that they can feel empowered and know that they are empowered and have the faith to know that they can do all things through Christ Jesus. I come against the spirit of suicide. I come against the spirit of murder. I come against that any demonic assignment that are an assignment against every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that's tuned into the sound of my voice. And I speak life. I speak life over them right now in the name of Jesus. I speak life over every marriage, over every marriage, and over every single person, oh God, that feels lonely during this holiday season. I speak against the spirit of depression. We come against the spirit of depression right now in the name of Jesus. And we speak peace and joy. Lord, fill them with an impartation of joy, that joy, unspeakable joy, joy overflowing, the joy of the Lord being their strength. So, Lord, I thank you for every person right now, God, under the sound of my voice, man, woman, boy, and girl. And I say, have your way, Lord, and give them power. Give them power, oh God, to stand up against the power of the evil one. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.